for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 28th, 2001. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ron Johnson of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, is the speaker of the morning.
Kind of curious, how many of you have been in meetings where I've been given the privilege of sharing before? I guess, okay, good. I don't like to go through things twice, but I want you to try my spirit. Those of you that have not been in the meetings before, those of you that have also, all right? As I said yesterday, I'm trying yours. And we're going to come together in unity. Amen. I believe that we're being led to share on the subject of the spirit of rejection this morning. Now, it's not going to be, unless the Holy Spirit guides otherwise, a lot of scriptures on the subject of the spirit of rejection. But instead, it's going to be on opening ourselves up to accept the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Before I go to scriptures, let me just share a couple of items that I've learned in the ministry of deliverance on the subject of rejection. Okay. First of all, I was probably under the influence of rejection to such a point that the call could not come forth to bring forth the Word of God. And the tremendous inferiority complex, I'll just use that, was so great that deliverance was just an unheard of thing. And through my eyes, we have been, first I would say we've all been given the command to walk humbly. And remember that Satan cannot create, he can only copy. All right, he has not got a brain that can think up things that are original. The only thing he can do is go to the source of the Word of God and then pervert it to his likeness. And that's what the Antichrist is. It's just a copycat of Christ. And I don't say that loosely. I respect his power and authority. But he will take our giftings that God has given us, such as humility, and he will pervert it and cause us to walk in a false humility, which is really a lack of self-worth and so on. Rejection in many forms. Okay. One of the things that I have discovered, maybe you already know it, is this. When I was formed in my mother's womb, the moment of conception, I received spirits through my father's bloodline. I was conceived in the realm of unholy spirits, unless my mother and father were saved, and it was an act of pure love. So as I began in the womb, I was in the process of being ministered to by demonic forces. I have found out through deliverance that if it was a, forgive the term, but a one-night stand, individuals have a very difficult time being stable in their life, seeing themselves as a good, what we'll call a solid citizen, a practical. Their walk is up and down and so on. If the mother was raped, fear would set in from the beginning, and you could go into the mother's home and she was either what I call a neatnik, a perfectionist, or just the opposite. It was so filthy dirty that you couldn't stand it. And it was painting a picture of whom she was. And on it goes. So there are many, many spiritual roots that come on the day of conception. And then as the child has been carried in the mother's womb, and again, these are things that are in the Word, but I also learned them by practical experience of deliverance. The voices that were spoken over the child as it was carried in the mother's womb, the type of music that was played, the anger, the bitterness, the distress, the distraught attitudes of one another, and, oh my goodness, I'm pregnant, and other words are used and so on. They all feed to that little one that's within that has a soul. Now, the soul is the area of wounding, the mind, will, emotions, and desires. They are the area of wounding. And that little one has a soul, whether you're the abortionists like to believe it or not, it's true, that has a soul at the moment of conception. Amen. All right. And so we have a little bruised soul. Obviously, the brain is not recognizing it yet, or the mind is not recognizing it yet. But the demonic world is building up a powerful case for rejection. As you go to birth, when the child is born, we'll skip the birthing room. All right. That's travail, and we won't want to get into that this morning. I watched my wife, and that was enough. It hurt bad enough to watch. But at any rate, let's go on. In the birth, the child is almost always exposed to hands other than the father's hands. Now, the father is the one that has been given the spiritual responsibility of authority to accept the child and take authority over it. Well, it's either a doctor. If it's Doc Null, I would say that's great, you know, because I know he's a spiritual man of God. But it still is better if the father does. Or someone else is chosen. Rejection comes in immediately there, and it opens it up, because the father is supposed to accept me. Where is my father? Now, in the soul, there is the crying of the soul without realizing it, that I desire to be loved by my father, Sabatorianda. Oh, Kolobasia Manasayatianda. Hallelujah. Halabasianda. Okay, the next step. I don't know the rise and the wherefores of spanking and so on, and I don't want to get into that. But the next thing that happens is the child is searching for nourishment. Looks to the mother. The assignment of the mother is to nest in the home. We studied birds on the river as we were fishing, and Brother Null touched on it yesterday. I was going to share on birds, but I won't now because he covered that. But birds are types of the demonic world. The Holy Spirit is the dove, and you study the dove and you'll find the beautiful characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But by the same token, birds in the Bible can be types of the way the demonic world operates, and so on. And the mother has been given the job of nesting, of sitting on the eggs and nourishing the little ones. Likewise is the natural mother. Okay? And so she comes searching for nourishment, warmth of the mother's milk. Pardon? She comes searching for nourishment. Okay, my voice is soft. I apologize. Sometimes it doesn't get that way and sometimes it does. All right. And as she is searching, oftentimes the child is given a bottle, or the child is given someone else, a nurse or whatever it is, and rejection sets in. Okay? Now, this is just all practical things that happen. And so we open ourselves up to a spirit of rejection. And as life goes on, the words of, oh, I am so tired, won't that child shut up or be still or whatever it is, push away when the child is crying out. And then the wonderful, terrible twos. I want to get rid of the word terrible twos because they are wonderful experiences of learning who I am twos, you know. And a lot of us Christians are still in that age. isn't that right? But it's a time for learning discipline and overcoming the strong mind. And, of course, most of us have been trained that you don't discipline, you just love them. And so rejection sets in because God has given every one of us a desire to be disciplined. And discipline is a method of showing love. Without discipline, you're a bastard. Amen. The Word teaches that. And so you open up the doorway to being a bastard. When you open up the doorway to being a bastard, you open up the doorway of disrespect to the Father, your human Father, and also your Heavenly Father. Do you see just how this builds and builds and builds? Okay? And so I've not spoken Scripture yet, and I would prefer to stay in the Word with Scripture. But these are doorways to opening us up to a spirit of rejection. Okay. Now, once again, it's in our soul where this rejection comes. The Scripture that says the greatest commandment of all is to love God. The second greatest commandment is to love others as you love yourself. Do you ever wonder why people will turn away from you? Because we haven't learned how to show love, because we don't believe we're loved ourselves. So, the root of rejection is generally birthed at conception. It is fed, and it is reaffirmed during life. One other quick thing, coverings feed rejection if they're not the right coverings. So you become rejected from the preacher that's very inferior, and he stands up and he goes like this and tells you how bad you are, and you're going to go to hell, and you sit under that curse of I'm not worthy and good enough. excuse me. Your school teachers. Why don't you read better? Can't you read better? Or can't you understand? The spirit of dumbness is put on a person. And it opens up the door for a spirit of deafness, not literal deafness, although it can. Well, on and on it goes, and if the Lord allows, we'll minister to that at the end. But do you understand this rejection thing is a big thing? All right. And I'm never going to be able to show the love of God as Jesus showed it until I love myself. Hallelujah. I want to fall in love with myself. Amen. Not conceited, reality. Now, in order to do that, we'll begin with, I'm just going to do it at the beginning from my memory bank here. In Psalm 25:1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Okay? It begins with an attitude. You've got to have an attitude. If you're indifferent, then you have to pray, God, give me an attitude. I want to be either cold or hot. But this attitude of lukewarm, I don't want. So, God, give me an attitude. Okay? And it's fine if it's cold. Then we've got something to work with. Okay? Indifference is something you just can't work with. So is your attitude, let's have a workshop this morning from the Word. Is your attitude, God, I would like to be in your presence. Behold how pleasant it is for them to dwell together in unity, for the anointing drips upon them, my translation on that one. Let us come together, and it's the anointing that does the delivering. It's not me. I want to bring you back to yesterday to remind you the results are up to Jesus. That's it. If it's anybody else's results, man has touched it and it's false and it won't work, only for a while. So we're just going to, I use the term, hang loose. Lord, here's my soul. Want to say that with me, Lord? Say it, Lord, here's my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my desires. It's written in the Word. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to me. Now, soul, I command you to line up to the Word of God. I command you to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want my thoughts to be God's thoughts and the only other thoughts that can enter in. Are those that are allowed by God. And if there is a spirit of rejection in me, as the chief demon, I command you to line up behind you every spirit, every demonic force that is under your authority. And I command you, sir, to stand at attention now. Place your men behind themselves, behind me, in rank and file. I command you to be still. I bind your power that you may not run around. And I command you to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, for you have met your demise. And at the end of this time period, or during this time period, you are going to be released from me. For I am not a child that is rejected. I have been adopted. I am the Son of God, under the authority of the real Son of God, under the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and I am loved with a perfect love by a Father that is everlasting, with an everlasting love. And I serve a God that created you and created me. And I live in the heavenlies, high above your position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is stirring some nests right now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody here is feeling a nesting in here. Hard to swallow. That's all right. I don't like to suggest things because then it's the power of suggestion and pretty soon everybody's saying it's me. Let's just be real. All right? Different ways of manifestation. Okay? But the spirits of rejection often bring with them cold sweats, uncomfortableness, make you believe the lie that you can't understand it. They want you to get up and leave. Want to give you the fidgeties and the wiggles and all kinds of things like that. Brother, that wasn't intended for you. It just came out as you stood up. Okay. Now, all of us have been birthed with the desire to be accepted and loved. I was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. My God created us that we might love Him and have fellowship with Him. And when He created you and I, it's very hard to understand this because God is perfect, but God had a need. Now, I don't understand what I am saying there, so I'll rephrase it and say God had a desire to be pleased. And it pleased God, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, to create you and I to do His works. And He says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 or 6, wherever it's at, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But then He goes on to say, I reward them. I restore unto them that believe in me and come to me, knowing. There's a drawing. Oh, it's here this morning. There's a drawing of the Lord. He's saying, come, come. I want you to love me with the same jealousy that I love you. That's what deliverance is all about. It's not some evil thing. That's what chastisement is all about. It's not meant to hurt or destroy. God is so jealous for us that whatever darkness there is in operation in our life, He is going to go every step of the way to cause us to desire to be cleansed. And the moment we desire to be cleansed, He does it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yesterday I shared on the subject of being sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Being sealed means that there is a hedge about me. There's a hedge about my soul, and it is protecting me. I am protected by the Holy Spirit. I am loved by the Holy Spirit. I am living in the womb, figuratively speaking, where I am nourished, where I am fed, where I am loved. And in the womb, I put my hand on my wife's tummy and my daughter's tummy, and that little one just kicked and squirmed, and I was thinking of being led to the altar where I'm being dealt with. But you know, In the security of that womb, I am sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a precious place that is, isn't it? Okay. Now, I've lifted up my soul unto the Lord. There is unity here. The love of the Father is here. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, I think it is, he says, I love you with an everlasting love. I was visiting prison one day, visiting a young man who had lived with us. We have different ones living with us at different times, questioning the wisdom of that I am, but anyhow. And he sacrificed the family cat to Satan out in the silo. It was a tragic experience for my daughter, really, and myself. And I found motorcycle X-rated books under his mattress one day, and I ordered him that he must go outside. And yes, I ordered. I controlled. I have authority over that place. I don't control his will, but I certainly control his actions when they're on our place and for rehab. At any rate, he took him out to the burning barrel, and they would not burn. The fire danced all around the magazines and would not burn them. He came in very frightened. His father also lived with us. I'm going someplace with this, but and we had a huge field, and his father was a recovering alcoholic. And his therapy was to come home from work and hop on the riding lawnmower. And in this field, I had cut the name Jesus. It was about a three-acre field, because we were on the path to the airport. So when airplanes would fly over, TWA and all of them, they would look down and they would see the name of Jesus. And it became to be quite a tourist attraction. People would drive by and just look at it. Well, anyhow, Jim's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he would go out there mowing and keeping it really looking pretty sharp. But he would come running into the house frequently. And he would be shaking, and he would be white, and he couldn't understand why. I got up one morning, about 4 a.m, and I looked out the window facing that field, and I saw demons of all, hundreds of them, and they all had what I call bazooka guns, and so on. Right now, they're those fun water pistols, those super blaster type things, all right? And they were shooting at the house, and the angels protected us, but he was out mowing in the midst of that field, and these demons would come after him. And his opening doorway was rejection. That's why he drank. Okay, he had to hide, because everybody that's an addict is hiding from reality. Okay, you might be born an addict, tendencies, but it's all demonic. There's nobody going to tell me any different. Well, I won't say that. Then somebody will, but you understand. Okay, why am I sharing these things? They're just some kinds of the fruit of rejection. But going back to this Jim's son, he was in prison. And as I went to visit him, naturally I said to him, I said, hey, how you doing with Jesus? And his reply was, he don't want me around no more. Now, this young man had played Dungeons and Dragons. Some of us remember that, and oh, the demonic battles we've gone through because of that game. And the video games, and he's done the whole bit. And I looked at him and I said, Steve, you're loved with an everlasting love. And he looked at me kind of funny and he said, you mean God would still love me after all I've done? I learned in that meeting the following principle. God loves me if I pray or don't. If I murder someone or don't, if I fast or don't, and on, the only thing that hinders me from accepting God's love is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the true mark of the beast. Thank you. And even then, it's not that God does not stop loving me, it's that I lose my ability, because I've sold off to Satan, to receive love. And when I was done sharing these things with Steve, he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and for him that was rare. And he says,
My father turned his back on me when I was 2 years old. He never loved me after that, and he didn't. They lived in the same house, but there was no love there. It was there, but it wasn't shown. And the Holy Spirit touched Steve, and he came back to the Lord. He's back and forth, but right now he's serving the Lord again, and this is 12 years later. This spirit of rejection is an awesome thing. Everyone that has been dedicated to Satan, the root is rejection. That's where it begins. Every SRA, satanic ritual abuse victim, that we deal with has its root in rejection. Because these children are birthed by Satan, are formed by Satanists. The father almost always forces the little girl, 10, 11 years old, to be raped by a series of Satanists on an altar. And then when the child is born, I don't know if I should share this or not. I hope it's okay when it goes on tape. But when the child is born, almost always the child's mother, who has been raped, is forced to sacrifice the baby and eat part of it. This is just stuff that goes on all the time. And so on. And rejection opens the door to that. Now, I've told enough stories. They're true stories. We run into it so frequently. But I would like to go to the subject of overcoming rejection by realizing that I'm the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. So we'll be set free, any of us that are battling that area this morning. And I'd like us to begin with Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6. And as we go there, understand this principle, if you would. Allow this to be settled in your mind. We've opened up to the Lord. The Heavenly Father has prepared a bridegroom for you and I. He chose to name him Jesus. He chose to call him the Almighty One and many other names. But he said, now, I have a bridegroom that is prepared for you. He was not prepared in heaven. He was prepared on earth because he was going to marry those of us that live on earth. So he emptied himself of all of his heavenly knowledge, it says, the self-emptying of Christ. And he descended a little lower than the angels. Therefore, he submitted himself to the ministry of angels, the very ones that he created. But in his mind, in his knower, he was emptied of that knowledge. And he became an infant that was conceived by a perfect father. Because it says in Deuteronomy, it says, God is a God in whom no iniquity dwells. I remember teaching that at your place a long time ago. Okay, and I taught it here the first time at camp. But, you see, sinful tendencies are passed down through the father's bloodline. Iniquities. Those are the desires to commit the sin. That's why Joseph did not conceive Jesus. Otherwise. Okay? Now, as we go on, the father says, what a beautiful child. And as he has raised him, the child confesses as an adult, I only do the will of my father. He says, oh, look at me. You see me? You've seen the father. And the world couldn't understand that. They were looking to a spiritual God in the heavenlies that they didn't have an intimacy of a relationship with, that they couldn't come boldly unto the throne of grace with, one that couldn't be touched with their infirmities, and they developed a religious spirit of serving an unknown God. And Jesus says, oh no, he walked in our midst, and he said, this is what it's like in heaven. Watch me in action. And then, of course, we shared on it yesterday. He lured obedience. He even wept because his prayers were not answered. Could you imagine that? His Heavenly Father didn't answer his prayers. It says that. I don't know which, well, I have an idea, but whatever. Okay. And then as he got to the cross, he suffered the maximum of rejection. My God, why have you forsaken me? Come on. Here was a father with perfect love. Jesus had never tasted real rejection of a father until at his final moment of life. Now, that's the husband that's prepared for you and I. And the Father is looking down on us and he says, "You are engaged to my son." The word bride in Revelation has two meanings. One means engaged and one means married. We're still in the engagement period. We are betrothed unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. My, doesn't the time fly? It's one of my unfavoritous enemies. 33 and 6 is Jeremiah, where I want to go. I probably told you wrong. Okay. "Behold," now he's speaking of the church, "I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first." As at the first is the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. I'm seeing this in the Spirit now. Come on. Judah and Israel stands for the nation Israel, natural, the spiritual Israel also. Hallelujah. God is restoring his bride to the way he created his bride. As it goes on, and he says, "I will cleanse them from all their iniquity." When were you cleansed from your iniquity? Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. I was cleansed, I'm being cleansed, and I will be cleansed. All right? The bride is becoming a bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But if Jesus would come today, we would be that because he'd do a quick scrub job. Amen? And we'd stand in the fullness of our salvation immediately. We're not living in the age of the fullness of our salvation. We're living in the age of coming into the fullness of our salvation. Hallelujah. That's why it's called the age of grace. I call it the age of putting up with me. You know, isn't that right? God is putting up with me. Okay, let's go on. All right. And he says, "And I'll pardon their iniquities whereby they've sinned, whereby they've transgressed." And it's now, here's the part. "And it shall be to me." Okay, say this. "This is what I am to my Father."
This is what I am to my Father.
Oh, hallelujah. Get ready. Your buttons are going to pop. Huh? First of all, he says, "You are to me a name." Name stands for nature or presence. Okay? The name of Jesus means the actual essence of Jesus. So I am another place it says in the New Testament that we are a sweet savor. That means we smell good. Come on. We smell good unto the Father. Okay, and here's what he says about us. He says, "You are to me a name of joy." That means cheerful rejoicing. Okay? The Father is rejoicing in his son's bride. Jesus is rejoicing in his bride. Your bridegroom is filled with joy because he is marrying you. He has chosen you. He has elected you to be his bride. Glory to God. Now you got to remember, he brings an unconditional love. I laugh when I think of my wife and myself sitting in a romantic restaurant in Rockford, Illinois. It was an Italian restaurant, and it was so fine. And we had candles for dinner. I mean, you know what I mean. We were on that cruise ship called Infatuation with each other, and neither one could do wrong. You know how that goes. Just get married. Just watch it. At any rate, I was sitting there, and racing used to be a very big part of my life. I loved to live on the edge and drive race cars and so on. And I said to her, "You know, I don't offer you a stable home because I just live. I wasn't saved. I live to race." And she says to me, "That's all right. I'll go with you wherever you go. I'll be at your side." About six, huh? You looking for one? Reality is you learn to accept each other where they're at and let God change them. But at any rate, a few years later, we were sitting at the table. And I had just recently been saved, I guess. No, it wasn't that. But anyhow, I looked across the dining room table and I looked at her. And this sounds crass, but it wasn't. And I said, "Do you know, honey, I am stuck with you for the rest of my life and you're stuck with me." Now, if any of you have had to go through the bitterness of divorce, etc., that's quite a statement. Okay? And it was said in love, not in a vulgar way. And we began the conversation by, "You know, remember the time when I told you, wherever you went, whatever you did? Well, deep down I was saying, I'm going to change him. I'm going to change him. You watch." Father's that way. The bridegroom, Jesus, is that way. He says, "Oh, I accept you the way you are. And I'll just let you keep on racing if you want to race. I'll just let you keep on doing whatever you want to do because I know the future. And I send in the Holy Spirit." Because my Father built a mechanism in you. And He's going to just adjust and fine-tune you. And pretty soon, you'll become like me. Glory to God. Now, I'm speaking to you this morning of the engagement ring. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 16, I'm going back to Jeremiah in a second. He says that He has given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have enough of the Holy Spirit to survive. If we had any more, we'd be burned up. This is the truth. All right? We have enough of the Holy Spirit to survive every demonic attack, every demonic authority that there is. We are walking in enough of the Holy Spirit authority to defeat every warrior of Satan that there is. And the word earnest, when traced into the original language, means betrothed or engaged. God has given you and I the Holy Spirit, and He says, "Here's a ring. Would you take it? Look at your ring finger. Pray with me." This may sound foolish, and I don't care. Pray with me. "Father, put your ring on my finger. I receive it. As I have received the Holy Spirit, I symbolically receive the ring, the perfect circle, that I am with you forever." Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shalatabasa kamaturiana. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. 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 I understand now. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The wall of rejection that says you cannot please the Father is being destroyed right now. In Jesus' name, every demonic authority that is assigned to tell you that you cannot be the bride, I command you to release the one that you have a hold of. And Father, I ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit to destroy those spirits in Jesus' name. Over somebody, probably more than one. It's the dove that went from Noah's ark, and it has found a dry place to land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I ask for the miracle of the descending of the anointing. Lord, descend upon them.
on each one that is being delivered now. Descend upon them. Go to their feet. Oh, my God, rise up. Rise up. Rise up, O God, with your anointing, and cover them in this moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Now the Father is looking down, and He's boasting about you. And He's saying to the angels around about Him, and He is saying to anybody within earshot, He's speaking to you and I, and He is saying, oh, you give me such joy. I am so gleefully thrilled with you. What a precious, precious child I have. Hallelujah. Now, we get on to the next one, and He says, you are a praise and an honor to me. That word praise means I am delighted to give you in marriage. Hallelujah. You've received the engagement ring. And He says, I am so delighted. I am preparing you for my precious son. He is your husband. And I have chosen you. And it is such a delight to prepare you to become the perfect wife for my husband. Hallelujah. My Father in heaven is looking upon you and I right now, and He is saying, my future son's wife, or my wife's future, my son's future wife, good grief. Good grief. Grief is not good. I renounce that in Jesus' name. You understand? Since His love right now, I can only speak it. The anointing has to do it. I bind oppression in the name of Jesus. I cancel in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you were here from the beginning or not, but the hands that were to receive you were not there. The pushing away opened the door. And the Father is saying, I restore. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be willing to release depression. Be willing to release it now. In Jesus' name. I am accepted in the Beloved. Confess that I am accepted in the Beloved. My Father is looking upon me with joy. He is praising my beauty. Hallelujah. It's lifting. Hallelujah. The cloud is lifting. Glory. Are you in medication? Good. Good. We don't have to fight that one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I wonder if we'll get off this verse. I got 100 more. Let's go. My compassion is for those hearing this on tape. This is a lot of personal ministry, but God knows what He's doing. Then He goes on and He says, you're my honor. He sees us as His majestic beauty. He sees me as a king and a priest. He sees me that way. He sees me as a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation, a set-apart people. And then He goes on in verse 9, and He says, you I'm going to present to all the nations of the earth. I think it's interesting that he doesn't say, I am going to hold you up into the heavens where the nations can't see you so they can kill themselves. But He says, you're the light. The darkness is going to be so great that light will be evident. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And which you'll hear of the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and the prosperity that I procure unto it. And what God is saying, without going into a deep teaching on this, is that reminds me of the, remember the $64,000 question? That used to be a lot of money. Anymore it's nothing, but being birthed with that and given to us.
All right. The father says, and we so foolishly accept it in a materialistic way. He says, I have given you all. You have need of nothing. All I ask of you is believe it. Believe it. I feel led to share one quick experience. I do not exalt self. Several years ago, a mother and I had a very prosperous trucking business. And three prophets over the period of several years came with the same word. Get rid of the business and move on in your calling. I resisted. I was Holy Spiriting too many people. How could they live without me? And nobody's ever done that. Finally, the day came when the trucking business went broke. I had no money to peddle the freight with. I wonder why. A man walked up to our door. We lived in the middle of the country nowhere. And he said, I hear you've got a business for sale. I'm here to buy it. We sold it. We went on the road. The Lord, we had a rusty van. As funny as this sounds, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we went through the car wash because the cars there are so fancy, and Wisconsin cars, as you look at my van, I've got the doors. I won't tell you how they're held on, but really, you just patch the holes and go. But at any rate, the piece of the fender fell off from the car wash. It was not fun. And then the Lord brought us back to Wisconsin, and he said, son, I want you to learn to live within my provision. So we lived in the van for a short period of time, and suddenly a man came and said, God told me to pay your room rent. So we lived in a $10 a night hotel room. It was interesting living, but I learned a provision. I mean a purpose in God. He will take care of you no matter what when you walk in His will. That's the love of the Father, and that's what this engagement ring that you put on stands for. Hallelujah. You, as you understand it now this morning, if you haven't before, you are secure in His provision. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you ask Him for bread, will He give you a stone? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Okay. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Isn't the word rich?
Amen.
To live a life of just reading, sharing, learning, hearing, and teaching the word. The epitome of perfection. That's what heaven's going to be, I hope. Well, of course, we'll know it then. Anyhow, now, with this ring, the Father looks down and He says, I have prepared a place of preparation for you. I'm going to give you a new home. It was the custom for the wife in Jesus' days to go home and to devote her whole life to learning on how to be a housekeeper, a cooker, a wife. All right, she was betrothed. And so on. I'm thinking of the Lady Esther. All right? There was a time of preparation. You and I are now being prepared by God. And in order to be prepared by God, He needs to take us, or He has taken us, out of the worldly setting and place us into a perfect setting. Hallelujah. So say that with me.
I now live in
a perfect setting.
Where I am being prepared to become perfect.
All right. Hallelujah. There's two words for perfect in the original. One is being prepared to become, and the other one is completed. Okay? Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is perfect. What He's saying there is, come to me and walk in the process of perfection. For your goal is you're going to be perfected. Okay, now here's where we're seated. Verse 20, He says, which He wrought in Christ, which when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places.
Okay? We know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. The right hand stands for the place of authority, power, and rulership. Isn't that right? And it's in a place that's spiritual. It's in heavenly places. All right? It's in a heavenly place. It's not streets of gold in the natural. It's not gates of pearl in the natural. It's a spiritual place where there is a path of gold to walk. It's a spiritual place that you enter into through much tribulation. Come on. In the heavenly places. All right. God is spirit. As we go on, and he says, oh, by the way, in verse 21, this is far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Oh, Father says, oh, listen, this home that I've prepared for you now, there's lots of activity around it, lots of demonic activity around it. They don't really like you. But he's saying, that's all right, because they live beneath you. You're in the third heaven. They're in the second. But you're living in the first while you're in the third and they're in the second. Only God can figure that one out. All right. I got a house prepared for you. Security of that ring. Hallelujah. Every husband, I'm sure, can relate to this. To provide his wife with a home is one of the desires. Isn't it? As she desires to nest. If the husband doesn't provide a home, the wife is insecure. The wife is filled with instability. And pretty soon she loses respect for her husband. And then it opens the door for many other things. So let's get rid of that spirit right now. Many of us have not been raised in an ideal situation. We've not been married in a place of perfection. And so the doorway has opened for these things to come in vacation. They don't belong there. I have lowered myself to live in their realm when the Word says, I live up here. I'm believing a lie that I live down here. Do you know that Satan's strongest weapon is to get you to believe a lie?
Yes.
Yes. He's the Antichrist. Amen. Okay, Father, let's pray. Father.
Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For looking to the physical man.
For looking to the physical man.
Or the system of the world.
And accepting him or them.
As my security.
They are not my security.
They are flesh.
They are flesh.
They are systems.
They are systems.
That are touched by man.
I have
no faith in man.
You
are my only source
of supply
and care. As I have accepted this ring from you,
I receive the promise
that you will care for me,
provide for me,
take complete care of me.
Spirit of.
What is it, Lord? Help me, Lord. Secularism. My goodness. The spirit of secularism. That holds me away from you. I command you to leave me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You must go now. In Jesus' name. Father, fill the empty place with your pure love. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. As we go on, I'm seated in the heavenlies. And he goes on to say, and he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. My husband is in charge of everything. Wow. Isn't that something? Come on.
Your husband is the top CEO. He is the president. He is the owner. He is the king of all kings. He is the lord of all lords. At his knee, or at his presence, every knee shall bow, and every knee, and everyone shall confess that he is the Lord. There's a spirit of confusion. I bind you and command you to leave here now. I'm trying to twist scriptures in my head. Come on. Hallelujah. He has given you that husband with this ring. Come on. I encourage you. Let it be life to you this morning. That's why I repeat it. Huh? Glory to God. What a marriage. Every bride thinks it's a marriage made in heaven, and the husband is wondering. 2 years later, most of them say, if hell is like this. No, I won't speak that curse on anybody, but it happens a lot, doesn't it? A marriage made in heaven. And then he says, he is over all things, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's saying, by the way, my husband, you know, the two of you are becoming one. Why do you suppose the husband is the covering in the act of reproduction? That two would become one. Hallelujah. Animals aren't that way. Husband and wife face to face. We shall know him as he is when he appears. Come on. We are in the process of becoming that one. Because the nature of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, the anointing of our Father, through Jesus that walked on the earth releasing it, is now the Christ in you. And it is working effectually in you to become as Jesus is. Hallelujah. Okay. A principle of marriage. And then we go over to chapter 2 in this heavenly place. And he says in verse 6, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your new home. He says, you're plopped there now. Sit means plopped. I don't know if you remember Linda Sutter or not, but Olson. And she used to preach a message on you're plopped by God. I'll never forget it. And we are. You and I have been plopped in our new home. Okay? It's not the home where we're going to live after we're married. But it's the bride's house of preparation. Okay? And then he goes on and he says in chapter 2, verse 8. I already touched on that one. He goes on in verse 13 and he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. Mary didn't do a thing to become the mother of Jesus. Paul didn't do a thing to become an apostle. You nor I can do a thing to become the bride. We are the bride. Take the burden of works and throw it away. Take the burden of I must do and cast it aside. You are living, we are living in the heavenly place because of the blood of Jesus. Every time we think that we have to do something for Jesus, we're saying the cross wasn't sufficient and the blood of Jesus skipped over that one. Rest. Let the results be up to him. Amen. Okay, now, turn with me and we'll close with this to Genesis chapter 2. If God allows, this is a three-part teaching. And yesterday and today are one part. And whenever I get to share again, we'll go on with it. And then I will have fulfilled my assignment for coming here when we're done with it. I don't know when that's going to be. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, isn't it? Huh? I get anxious when he does this. Okay, I want to talk to you about the River Euphrates. And I'm not going to teach on it now, but I've got some tapes back home where I do. But I want you to understand in the natural, first of all, the river Euphrates is where the area where the Antichrist is coming forth from. The river Euphrates means the place of fruitfulness. All right? And the river Euphrates is the center of, that area is the center of the Islamic faith. All right? And this is all in Revelation. We don't want to go into that, but I just want us to understand that it's a false god or it's a true god that's happening right now. Now, the Garden of Eden, let's pick up there. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden. God plopped. Let's say that. God plopped. A garden in eastward in Eden. Eastward. Sons of God, once again. It's amazing, isn't it? And in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Okay? He placed the man. Where did God place you and I as a bride? In a heavenly place. And God is going to put us in and restore paradise. Hallelujah. We are going to be re-putted, repotted. All right. Tommy Cook used to preach on that. We're going to be repotted in the Garden of Eden. We're being prepared for that now. We're in the hothouse. Amen. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, here's where we're going to go. He said the tree of lives, not life, it's lives. The tree of lives also in the midst of the garden. Let me ask you a question. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Flows a river of living water. The Holy Spirit is the tree of life. Am I wrong? It is the source of bringing forth life with you and you and I. In the midst of me, I have the tree of living. It is an incorruptible seed, it says in Peter. It is without sin. It is not touched by man in any way. And it is alive in me. I could do nothing to make it get in there. God put it in there, in the midst of me. Hallelujah! Oh, we could type the Garden of Eden here and all of this, but then I get off on types and shadows. And I don't want to do that right now. All right, I have within me life. Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
Say it. I have life living within me. I have life living within me. When you focus on life, you don't think about... It's amazing with this thing, if I can just share it. Walking on this is a not happy an experience. But the moment the anointing hits, nothing there. There was a season in Alabama where God was using us to establish a mighty revival in my terms and God's terms. It was just a work, so I don't exalt myself. But I had a condition in thyroid where I should have been dead, and I kept falling asleep all the time. I'd come in to minister, I'd sit in the front chair, and I'd fall asleep. When worship service was done, my wife would give me a loving whack, and I'd jump like this, and I'd get up and preach, and people saved, etc., and on it goes. I'd sit down, and I'd be sound asleep. And so on. That was the reason. Well, whatever. Anyhow. But when you are in life, you are free from sickness and disease. When you are in life, God works miracles. I do not cast this upon anybody as a guilt trip. But every sickness and disease has found an opening someplace. We just don't know where the openings are. Those that are in deliverance... I really learn about these openings in a hurry,
right.
That ministry. But anyhow, okay, we go on. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I shared on this yesterday and touching it, but I want to really touch on it now. I still not had time to read Rick Joyner's book on it, but my wife tells me it's really an awesome book. But this is what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, and I don't know if it's in the book or not. I can come to a place... by
focusing on life, where good and evil doesn't become a part of my thought life. We are being brought to a place in our relationship with our Father where good and evil does not affect us. Jesus did it. Jesus was in the midst of evil. It was surrounding him. He was rejected, totally rejected, but he focused on life, not the good and the evil. Adam and Eve lived in perfection in the midst of good and evil. We are being restored to that place where we live in the midst of evil, but we focus on pure life. Hallelujah. Life is the light of the world. Light exposes the darkness. Hallelujah. The only darkness that light cannot expose is if the light itself has a mark on it where the light cannot shine through. My wife had a recent revelation. I quickly share it with you as we close in this scripture here. And she wrote it into a presentation. The bride, dressed in white with black spots all over it. The gentleman that was it was her wife, her husband, played the role, I hate to use that term, of the bridegroom. And he went over to his bride, and he carefully picked each black piece off. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is doing for you and I right now. My Father is delighted in me. Let me take this off from you, a bit at a time, gently, but completely. And at the end of that service, she stood arrayed in all white. And soon, you and I are going to be arrayed in all white.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, flowing through this garden, it said there was a river. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, is the source of the river. The four rivers that run through the garden, we won't read it right now. The first one is Pison. My translation is Pison. I don't know if that's right. It means increase and growth. There is a river flowing through me right now. And it's called the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am growing in Him. And I am increasing in Him. Hallelujah. The second river that's flowing is Gihon. And it means to break forth and flow abundantly. Hallelujah. The Father has said, I have put a river within you that is going to swell and grow. And as the body of Christ, plural, is concerned, we will consume the whole earth with His presence. Hallelujah. And then He goes on and He says, you are breaking forth wherever you go. Water seeks its own level. Guess what level we are seeking? The heavenly level. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise be to God. Then the third river is Hiddekel, and it means pleasantness. I have a river flowing through me that is very charismatic, but it's not under my soul authority. It's under the spiritual authority of my Father in heaven. I represent a sweet-smelling savor wherever I go. Hallelujah. You got it? And then the fourth river is Euphrates, and it means fruitfulness, and it stands for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I carry this anointing. It's part of the engagement ring wherever I go. My Father is excited with great joy. He is so pleased with me. He says, you are a product of my pleasure. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And marvelous are thy works. Hallelujah. Does your soul know it right well? Let's pray together. Allow God to heal you this morning. The roots are being uprooted this morning.
I know no ethnic problems at all. But I tell you that the roots that brought your people here were birthed in greed. And as a result, these roots carried with them rebellion. Servitude that was forced, not voluntary. And you are being released this morning from those roots, the source of those roots. And Psalm 1:3 says that you are now, your roots are seeking because you have been seeking. And they're being taken away from bitter water. Hallelujah. Into living water. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, feed her with your love. Your acceptance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love you. I love you, Lord. I lost my name. It's all right. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Pray with me, dear Father. It is my choice to allow you to send your Holy Spirit to destroy every demonic force of rejection and all related spirits. I forgive anybody, my parents, anybody of authority, any relatives, any ancestors that have conveyed to me the lie that says I am not loved. Now I release them to you. Do with them whatever is necessary. I prefer to look to life. I set myself apart from good and evil in this area. And I look to you as my total source of life. I am accepted in you. I am loved with an everlasting love. Destroy every wall
that is hindering me.
There is somebody here, and I'll teach this another time, that's living in a black box, a portion of your soul. There's more than one of you. And you're hiding. You're hiding in a place of protection. You have fear of facing authority. You have fear of facing relatives. You have fear of man. And it's time to come out of your box. So, Father, I pray that you would send angels to dismantle the box that surrounds this portion of the soul of whomever I'm ministering to. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, if you would take this portion of the soul and parade it past where the demonic authority of rejection lived, and let this piece of the soul, oh yes, let it see that it's no longer there. And now, Father, would you release that piece of the soul? Have your angels set it into the perfect soul. In Jesus' name, receive. Hallelujah. Lord, have your angels seal the opening now. Cauterize anything that is not a perfect seal. Lord, touch it with the balm of Gilead. Pour the oil of healing over it. And finally, daub it with the blood. A perfect rejoining with no scars. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I've just done what I think you've told me to do. And the more you've asked me to minister, the more I realize the need for one-on-one ministry is so great. But then again, the job of the Holy Spirit is to take care of the one-on-one also. So I teach the truth. If there's something that wasn't truth, destroy it, Lord. And I let the truth be anointed to do the work.
Bless these saints. May their lives be changed and filled with the knowledge of your perfect love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Brother Len. Brother Len, you want me to pray for the meal? Yes, brother.
Would you pray for me?
Sure. Be a privilege if it's all right with Glenn. I'm going to dismiss for lunch, and then I'll pray with you.
What,
yes.
What was that third river? Third river?
Got to look. Genesis 2. Yeah. P-I-S-O-N? Tigris. Oh, I missed that one, didn't I? Huh? Did I miss that one?
You didn't miss it. I just didn't. I don't know that you named it.
I don't know that I did either. Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. Where do you see Tigris?
Pleasantness.
Yeah, that's your present. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, which means pleasantness.
Hiddekel,
yeah. Okay. At any rate, that's a type of the Holy Spirit. Let's dismiss for lunch. Oh, you hungry? You get fed by the Word, and you know, you forget about time. Isn't it? I'd fall out the window probably like that guy did. You know? But you're very hungry, and that makes it so beautiful. It does. It does for me too, because I learn every time I share these things. I love you. It's not a sick love, but we're brothers and sisters together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for feeding us this morning spiritual food. And now we go to get natural food. We ask that you bless it. Bless it to our bodies. We consecrate it unto you. We receive it with thankfulness. Bind any spirits of gluttony or greed within us. In Jesus' name, we all agreed by saying, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.